Welcome back, everybody, to the Pack-A-Day Radio Show, live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomie Sportsbook. Reminder, we've got the Mason Crosby Show with Mitch Nellis coming up from 9 to 11 today. Looking forward to that. They've got a lot of stuff to talk about. Badgers basketball picks up a win last night. Of course, the Bucks pick up a win last night. We've got the Packers by, but there's always Packers stuff to talk about, as we do here 5 days a week on the Pack-A-Day Radio Show. But right now, we're joined by Nathan Marzion, Behind the Bucks Pass, the Pack-A-Day Podcast, and the all-new Green and Growing Podcast, which I'm absolutely loving. You can find him on Twitter, at Nathan Marzion. Nathan, my friend, how the heck are you doing?
Doing a lot better now that the Bucks are back in the win column. It was nice to finally break that losing streak in. So, yeah, it just feels good to get the monkey off the back a little bit.
I'm very happy that they got the win last night. I feel like this would have a totally different vibe in our conversation today if they did not get that win. So very happy about that. It was a little bit iffy at first. I'm like, it's just, of course, they come down and just start crushing threes to begin that game. But we'll get to the Bucks in just a moment. I do want to start with some Packers talk, and then we'll definitely get over to that because I am excited to talk some Milwaukee Bucks with you. But I'm going to start with this question for you. We just went over our awards and superlatives to kind of start the show today. So I'll just give you three of them, and I want to know your answers to this. Your offensive player of the year so far, your defensive player of the year so far, and your rookie of the year so far for the Packers in the first half of the season?
My offensive player of the year is going to be Josh Jacobs. I think he has been, the focal point of the offense for the most part as far as, you know, I think what they're trying to do. Their game plan has been a lot of these games. They want to try to run the ball. He's been very effective running the ball. I think he's been one of the highest graded PFF rushers in the league. And so I've been very happy with what I've seen from him. I think he's done a great job of, you know, holding down the run game. There's a few ways you could go with this. I mean, I know Jaden Reed's been awesome with explosive plays and everything. He's been great. But I think Jacob is just what he's been able to do on the ground has been, you know, kind of the staple, the thing that has kind of held down this offense. And even the games where, you know, Malik Willis was the quarterback and you're not able to do as much down the field, Jacob having him in the run game has been huge and just able to, you know, again, hold it down. So he'll be my offensive player. And then my defensive player, definitely Xavier McKinney. He's been incredible, one of the highest graded players in on defense in the league. And he's been phenomenal in his first year. Obviously had that, you know, long stretch of interceptions to start the season or games with interceptions to start the season. Seems like he's always around the ball, always making, you know, just in the right spots, making the right plays. So have to go with him on defense. And then for rookie, Evan Williams. He's got to be, you know, in the conversation for defensive rookie of the year, and he's been so good. He's another player that just seems like he's always in the right spots, always making the right plays. 33 just seems like he's always around the ball. So I gotta go with him for the rookie of the year because he's been, you know, just so fantastic. Such a pleasant surprise to have him playing this well right away early in his career. So I'm very excited for the future with him, and having him and McKinney back there at safety is such a nice, you know, bounce back from what they had the last few years at safety. So it's been a joy to watch those guys on the defensive side.
Yeah, it's arguably the biggest glow up of any position group in the NFL from last year to this year, going from the Rudy Fords and the Darnell Savages and the Jonathan Owens to Xavier McKinney, Evan Williams, and Javon Bullard has been a very pleasant surprise. We agreed on the defensive and rookie player of the year so far for Green Bay. I had Jaden Reed as offensive player of the year, but I have no argument from a Josh Jacobs side of things. He's been fantastic and everything is advertised coming over from Green Bay. I asked this question to Mark Eckel the other day, and I want to get your answer as well. Are you more confident, less confident, or as confident as you were about the Packers going into right now as you were going into the season?
I think I am more confident because, I mean, I was confident coming in, but I think the confidence has gone up even a little bit because I really like what I've seen for the most part from the defense. I think they've, even in games that, you know, they lost that Lions game, but I thought the defense played an okay game. You know, again, the Packers outgained them by like 150 yards, and the defense actually did not play that bad, but the fact that the safeties have been so good is, like, again, I expected them to be better. I didn't think they'd be as good as they have been, and that's been a huge, huge thing. The pass rush has gotten a little bit better as the season's gone along. They've had at least a few good games where they've shown up compared to, like, earlier in the year. I feel like they never were showing up, so that's a positive sign. And the fact that they've been able to win despite, you know, a lot of things still kind of going poorly, like, we'll probably talk about this, but they've had struggles with, you know, penalties, drops, Love making some, you know, bad decisions or throwing some bad picks. Love gets injured, and they're still, you know, right there near the top of the NFC with, you know, going to be competing in the playoffs. You know, this is a team that last year was 3-6 at this point, and, you know, they were just, nobody thought they were anything like a contender. And know, to be now in kind of the opposite scenario where your record's really good and you still have plenty of things to improve on, like I still could see a world where it gets quite a bit better, gives me optimism going forward. So I think that this team is playing good but not their best ball, and they're still winning a lot of games. They're still looking like a contender, you know, for the most part. Again, I know they didn't look great last Sunday, but the Lions are a very good team, and I really feel like that was just the Packers kind of shooting themselves in the foot a lot. So if they can just clean up a lot of that stuff, I think they're going to be in really good shape. And so that, you know, gives me confidence for the long term as far as, you know, competing and potentially winning a Super Bowl.
Yeah, I do think it is scary of what this team could be if they do all of a sudden start playing their best football. And I think that's what gives me some confidence as well, is, hey, they haven't put it together yet. I think they will at some point, and hopefully that comes at the right time when they're making that push to, and hopefully in the playoffs come January and maybe even February if they can actually do that. Of course, it's not perfect, though. And I want to get your, you can put your GM hat on, you can put your head coach hat on, your offensive or defensive coordinator hat, whichever one you want to put on. It hasn't been perfect. So is there anything that you would like to see Green Bay change in the second half of this season that maybe didn't go according to plan, or a player that's not playing as well? What changes could Green Bay make to be better in the second half?
As I kind of touched on, I mean, the number one thing so far this season feels like, and this isn't the only issue, but the number one thing feels like they're beating themselves. They are really just undisciplined a lot of times. They're, you know, so many penalties that are pushing them back behind the chains, and really, you know, that obviously hurts the offense. And then the defense feels like there's times they can't get off the field because, you know, a penalty on third down or whatever. They had one of those in the Lions game where it was a third down, first drive of the second half. You have a holding penalty, Lions keep the ball, all of a sudden go down and score, and, you know, you're down at that point 24-3, and the game is pretty much over. Like, that's a, you know, game-changing type of call, or game-changing type of penalty. That's the type of stuff that I really need to see them start to limit, start to, you know, not have as much. And we've been saying this for most of the season. That's the frustrating part. And I know they're a young team. This is part of having a young team, is you're going to have some of these mistakes with the penalties, with, you know, drops, a lot of the stuff that they just need to clean up. I know Wicks, I'm hoping he can, you know, get the drop stuff out of his way. And you know, I hate comparing everyone to DeMontanis, but I know Adams had his drop issues his rookie year. Hoping that, you know, Wicks can grow and really become, you know, a much better receiver going forward. But he's been disappointing with the drops. I think he's caught like 16 out of 42 passes, which is crazy.
Yeah.
So it's not great. But they just have to clean up a lot of that stuff that comes with having a young team, and, you know, just beating themselves right now. And I feel like that's kind of their main culprit, is just the stuff that's shooting themselves in the foot. So clean up that stuff. Love's got to clean up some of those, you know, big game-changing mistakes he's made. I don't think – we've talked about this on the Pack a Day. I don't think it's as egregious as some people make it out to be. He's had some bad plays. He's had some bad turnovers. Some of them are terrible decisions. Some of them are just unfortunate. Maybe the defense made a good play. But at the end of the day, you don't want him to have as many interceptions as he's had in, you know, as few games as he's played. So that's got to be cleaned up. On the defensive side, again, I'm pretty happy with what I've seen for the most part, but there are definitely, you know, several disappointments on that side. Like, Kenny Clark's got to play a lot better. Van Ness is probably going to have to play a lot better now that Preston's gone. He's going to have to step up a little bit. Stokes has been really disappointing. I don't know how much we're going to see of him going forward, but he was, you know, he's been a big reason why, you know, they've sometimes had struggles on that side of the ball. Quay Walker has been disappointing and hasn't really taken any type of leap. So still plenty of, you know, and again, this is why I'm so optimistic, is like all these things have, you know, they've struggled with, and some of these guys are playing poorly and they still have a good record. They still won a lot of games. They're still looking overall pretty good and looking like a contender. So I can't be too upset in the grand scheme of things, but there are, you know, plenty of things they can clean up.
Yeah, definitely some tweaks that they can make in the second half of the season to, I think, improve and hopefully get to that peak performance towards the end of the season. Again, we're being joined by Nathan Marzam, Behind the Bucks Pass, Pack-A-Day Podcast, and the all-new Green and Growing Podcast, which is absolutely awesome. Make sure to check that out. All right, last Packers question, then we'll get to some Bucks. You talked about Dontayvion Wicks. You talked about the wide receiver position. Do the Packers need to pare this down a little bit and maybe just go with their top three? Does this need to ultimately be more of Dobbs and Reed and Watson? Are you still confident? Do you still want to get Wicks out there? Does Melton need to play more? How do you want to sort of see this wide receiver rotation take shape in the second half? Because it's just felt a little bit disjointed in the first half of the season.
I think I'm still fine with rolling Wicks out there and giving him a shot. I want to see, you know, at least giving him some reps, at least letting him grow a little bit. I understand, like, he's young. All these guys are young, but I'm not going to totally just remove some of these guys, you know, from that wide receiver core just because, you know, they're having some struggles with drops or whatever. I still believe Wicks can be impactful, can make some plays. So I'm fine putting him out there, but I mean, for the most part, you're going to focus on Reed, who's had, you know, so many explosive plays. He's obviously kind of the main guy right now. I think Dobbs is kind of your consistent intermediate route type of guy where he's, you know, had several solid games, and I feel like he's more of the, you know, the consistent option that you can rely on for maybe 4 or 5 catches, 60 to 70 yards for the most part in most games. So, you know, those are kind of the two, and then Watson's more of the deep threat speed guy. So I like the combination that they have, and then you can throw Wicks in there and you can even throw Melton in there a little bit. I don't mind that, but yeah, you know, yes, for the most part, I would be focusing on those three guys, still giving Wicks a little bit of a chance. It's a weird thing, 'cause it's like, and this was one of the questions going into the season was, if you don't have like the clear number one, and I know Reed's been really good, but like, is he a true number one? I'm not sure. It's hard to, you know, there's going to be some kind of weirdness with the whole pecking order and with how this receiver core kind of shapes out, because you've got several guys that can have good games. You've got several guys you can go to, and nobody's like head and shoulders above everyone else on a consistent basis. So it's kind of a weird thing where they just have several solid options at receiver, several, you know, they're all young guys that you're trying to improve, trying to grow. And so you're kind of left with this, you know, kind of odd core where, okay, you know, sometimes Reed can have great games and explosive plays. Then all of a sudden there's a game where Dobbs is great. Then, you know, Watson has a couple big plays here and there. Wicks all of a sudden will have a game, I'm sure, coming up. So I don't know. It's kind of a good problem to have, that you have several options that you can go to, but it's also just going to cause a little bit of confusion sometimes and weirdness with just not having your 100% go-to guy or 100% clear-cut top two, top three, top four, whatever. You know, and I don't think that's totally shaped out yet, even with, I'm not going to totally arrange these guys and put them in a clear order just based on
right. This
half season. So I'm still willing to adjust them and as we go along and as we kind of see what we see. So yeah, it's going to be kind of a combination of, I think, those 3 to 4 guys.
Yeah, I think so too. And I think the big thing here is, I think if these guys just start catching the ball a little bit more regularly, I think everything looks right. I don't think there's anything that needs this drastic change. I think specifically Wicks just needs to play a little bit better. And when you get those opportunities, you know, you got to make the most of it. And hopefully Wicks can kind of turn it around in the second half, because he's far too talented of a player to have the sort of season that he had in this first half. And the one thing I will say about Wicks is he is a really fantastic blocker on the outside as well. He's super tenacious and gets after it. So you do love that he's doing some of the little things while he's going through some of these issues, and I think that's one of the reasons that you feel a little bit more comfortable getting him on the field as well. All right, again, yeah, Nathan Marzion, Behind the Bucks Pass, the all-new Green and Growing podcast. I can't have you on without talking about some Milwaukee Bucks. They got the big win last night. What did you see last night, and what are some of your key takeaways from that one?
Yeah, it didn't start out great, as you mentioned earlier. You know, they were down 10 in the first half, but a lot of it was just the Jazz hitting every single three, and it's a team that averages 11 threes a game. I think it's last in the NBA, and they hit 14 in the first half. Look, I know the defense wasn't fantastic, but like, that shouldn't happen. And that's just that is a little bit unlucky that they hit as many threes as they did. Came back to earth in the second half and the Bucks dominated. I really like what I'm seeing from the core. Like, I think that this is a good team, a good core with a few really bad players right now on the back end that are really hurting them. I mean, Bobby Portis has been brutal in stretches this season, really just killing them. Like last night he comes in and they're, you know, up 6, up 7. And the next thing you know, they're down 4, and the game completely changes. This happened in the Cavs game, the first Cavs game as well, where they built a huge lead right away. The bench comes in, Bobby and Pat, and those guys, all of a sudden the deficit's gone. And so I think if you can trade one or two of those guys to, you know, make some type of upgrade on the bench, even if you can just trade them for picks or whatever, I don't care. Like, just I really think those guys need to go if you really want to be serious about winning a championship, because the bench has been so bad so consistently for the last year and a half. But I do really like what I'm seeing from Dame. I love what I'm seeing from Giannis. Those guys are getting better and better together, you know, each game. It seems like you're going to get Chris back. I'm fine with Brooke. I'm really happy with what I saw from Andre Jackson last night. He was amazing on defense, amazing as an energy guy off the bench, making all the right plays. Or he wasn't off the bench last night, but he filled in as a starter for Gary Trent. Amazing as an energy guy and just making all the right plays. So I think that if you can tighten up this rotation a little bit, make a trade, get Chris back, like, I think you're in good shape. I think that this is a better team than their record shows. It's just, you know, you're going to have to start winning at some point. I believe they will. Hopefully last night is the start of it. And, you know, I think they're going to be all right in terms of the long run.
Yeah, I do want to talk a little bit about Andre Jackson Jr. because I do feel like that's one of the more, you know, the bigger takeaway things, because a couple of different things. Either A, he becomes a legitimate part of this rotation and he becomes really good and he plays really well with these starters, or when Chris comes back, maybe as one of the core guys off the bench, or if nothing else, maybe you increase his trade value as you do look to upgrade the roster. I've been really impressed with what I've seen from him. He feels like that perfect role player. I think you were the one that tweeted this out of like, you know, hey, don't look at his summer league stuff because he was being asked to be the guy and he's never supposed to be the guy. He's supposed to be this perfect role player. And he kind of felt like that last night. And I think he can hopefully be that for them moving forward.
Yeah, that was a huge development last night. And, you know, even the game before when Doc played him a ton with Giannis out and he played really well. Him and AJ Green have been, you know, really, really playing nicely off the bench for the most part. Again, Andre Jackson started last night. But I think in the grand scheme, they're probably going to be bench guys once Chris comes back. But yeah, I mean, those guys are playing great off the bench. And yeah, Jackson's not a guy that, like, he really struggled in the offseason, in the preseason, in the summer league. But like, yeah, as you said, I've been trying to tell people this, like, I still have hope for him even when he really struggles in those games, because he is meant to be the fifth option on the offensive side at all times. Like, he should never be more than that. He's meant to be just a connective piece, you know, defensive guy. Whereas in summer league, in preseason, he's in these lineups where, you know, he's arguably the second or third best offensive player because these guys are just not very good players. He's not going to look nearly as good. He's going to really struggle when he has to have the ball in his hands more. That's natural. So when you put him out there with, you know, an NBA team and with Giannis and with Dame and with, you know, when Chris comes back and all these guys, and he's just a connective piece, he looks so much better. And yeah, that was, if he can consistently play like that, it's going to be a huge difference for this team. Like, legitimately could take them from pretenders to contenders just based on that, because they need a guy like that who can lock up on defense, give them good minutes, and do all those little things, bring the energy. He's young, he's athletic, all those things they need. So that was a huge thing, and he had some of these stretches or some of these flashes last year. He just never was able to consistently put it together. It seemed like he'd have a good game and then he'd have a game where he comes in and has three fouls in 3 minutes and he's, you know, just not able to kind of stay on the court. So I'm hoping this is something he can build on and consistently kind of keep going forward. And, you know, ultimately, I think him and AJ Green need to be playing over Pat and Bobby for the most part. I know Bobby's still going to get minutes because they need another big out there, but I think those guys need to be playing more, and just the way they've played, it definitely warrants it. So,
yeah, the Bobby trade seems to be the one, and maybe a Pat trade. You're just using those contracts and maybe some of their assets to try to upgrade there. Feels like a move that could really upgrade them, along with Andre Jackson Jr. getting those more minutes. Hopefully Gary Trent can get out of his funk a little bit. I know there's a little bit of an injury issue last night, and then getting Middleton back. And I think all of a sudden, just a couple of those things in the rotation, all of a sudden looks remarkably better. And like you said, the way that Dame and Giannis are playing still gives you a ton of confidence. Last but not least, before we get you out of here, from a Chris Middleton standpoint, any update yet on any sort of timeline for his return?
No, there hasn't really been many updates. I continue to think it'll be like 1 to 2 more weeks. I mean, I'm just speculating. I'm just guessing. I don't have any intel on that. But I still think it'll be a little bit of time, but I think he's fairly close. I think they're just being very cautious. Doc has kind of said that, like, if this was the playoffs and these were huge games, he'd probably be playing. He probably could push it and play if he wanted to. But at the end of the day, there, you know, even though the record is bad, even though it feels like this thing is slipping away, it's super early. There is way more time to get this thing turned around, and I think people sometimes realize, you know, because in the moment it feels worse than it is. Like, ultimately pushing him and rushing him back in any way is not good for the long term. It's just not smart. So I'm completely fine. Just, like, let him recover. Let him be fully, fully comfortable before he comes back. If that takes, you know, a week, 2 weeks, a month even, I'm okay with that. As crazy as it sounds, as much as it feels like, you know, we got to get him back, I'm okay with it, because ultimately, we say this every year at the end of the year, it is all about being healthy when it matters with this team. Like, there's a very good chance they're going to be somewhere between the 3 and the 7 seed and in the playoffs. And at the end of the day, it's going to come down to how they're playing at the end of the year and if they're healthy at the end of the year. And so pushing Chris back in November, if he's not ready, if he's not totally comfortable, is not the best thing for your long-term goal of winning a championship. So I think people just need to continue to try to be patient. I know it's frustrating, but at the end of the day, again, if he's healthy and playing well in April, March, or April, May, possibly June, that is ultimately what he's here for. That is, like, he's here to help us win a championship. And as, like, I know these games all kind of matter, but, you know, playing a bunch of games in November is not necessarily helping you always win a championship. So I think people just got to keep that in perspective and kind of play the long game.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I think it makes sense to get him to the point where he's completely ready and feeling confident, and then hopefully he can kind of look like Chris when he comes back, because I think people forget what he was able to do in the playoffs last year without Dame and Giannis towards the end. He was carrying that team. He looked fantastic still. If you get that version of Chris Middleton, it certainly changes the entirety of the remainder of this Bucks season. So hopefully he can come back 100% healthy and really make that impact that we all hope that he can. Nathan, you're the absolute best. Of course, again, make sure to follow him on Twitter at Nathan Marzian. You can find him on the Packaday podcast, Behind the Bucks podcast, the Green and Growing podcast. He's all over the place, so make sure to check him out. Of course, when we come back, we're going to be going to the phone, so get those phones, the phone calls and texts into the Nicolay Law Fan Talking text line, 414-677-1250. This is the Packaday Radio Show, live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM The Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook.